Please be seated. So tonight we're going to take a look at, before we pray, we're going to take a look at the concept in the Bible about joy. And I think it's important for us in these days and times that we are in to remember to be joyful. And it's not something that we can conjure up. It is something that is that we receive from the Lord. Now, if you're like me, I am a pessimist. I don't know why I'm wired to be a pessimist, but I am definitely a pessimist. I can find the dark cloud in any silver lining. It's easy for me. If I see something, I can poke holes in it. I am a, you know, my trade, the thing that I do for a living, is I'm a project manager. And I often say to the people that I work with that being a pessimist as a project manager is a good thing, because I can figure out what is going to go wrong, usually before it does go wrong. But it's not such a great trait as a Christian. It's not such a great trait when you have a Christian worldview and you name the name of Christ. So it's not a natural, and I don't understand people. I honestly don't understand people that are always happy and always see the silver lining. Sometimes I'm even annoyed by it. My wife is an eternal optimist. She is always happy. She is almost never unhappy. And I have learned over the years that it's not fake. It's just who she is. And I don't understand it. I am definitely not wired that way. But it does prove the old adage that opposites attract, and she is my better half. But everyone wants to be happy. It doesn't matter if you're an atheist, if you are an agnostic, it doesn't matter which religion you belong to. We as human beings are seeking happiness and joy. Our approach to that is entirely different, depending on what your worldview is and where you come at the approach to joy from. Men and women are zealous in their approach to happiness. I mean, you look at the entertainment. I mean, we have sports. We have movies and social media. Everything in our society, to even gambling, you name it. If you look at, take a broad, any kind of a broad stroke look at our society, you will see an irrevocable hunger, an insatiable hunger for happiness, whether it be in TV, social media, video games, out in nature, alcohol, whether there's sinful pursuits of, you know, like pornography, adultery, it's all based in making me happy. And the Christian's approach to it, we are admonished and told to be happy, and we seek happiness. But I will state today that the world is a joy killer for the Christian. I don't know about you. But again, I'll share a little bit about me, and maybe you can relate. But if I start watching news clips on the television, like video 5-minute news clips, and that's about all I could take on YouTube, is some 5-minute news clips of here and there, doesn't matter who puts it out, I'm not going to have joy as a response to whatever it is that they're saying. It is a joy killer. The world will take our joy and crush it. Christians, we should be joyful, shouldn't we? I mean, you could think of some verses, I'm sure. And one of the things that I did, and we love expository preaching, and expository preaching is what we should do. And I've often said, I've told some of you, and I've spoken with some of you recently, as you know, when we get the tap on the shoulder to come and preach or to give a message, it's a little bit more difficult to come off the bench and decide something that you're going to talk about in this book, because I haven't been preaching chapter by chapter, verse by verse. So I have to figure out between Genesis and Revelation, what does the Lord want to say? And it's great that we do expository preaching, and I love that we do it. One of the other things that I also love to do in studying God's word is trace a word throughout the whole Bible. And you could do, and to prepare for this message, and to prepare for this message this evening, I traced the word joy. I think it's 174 times in the ESV. And there's a lot of other variations on the word joy, like rejoice, and there's many others. I am not a Hebrew or Greek scholar, and I don't pretend to be. I can look up words, but that's about it. Anybody can do that. I always get a kick out of if a JW comes to my door, a Jehovah's Witness comes to my door, and immediately they want to talk about John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. Notice that's not what the Greek says. I always like to say, well, how many years of Greek have you studied? Because I haven't studied any. And then I kind of derail that conversation because it's two people that don't know anything about the underlying language. They're just parroting what they've been taught. I do not know the Greek. I do not know the Hebrew. But it is such a blessing for us to be able to go and trace in our own language the words through the Bible. And we can look up the Hebrew and the Greek that are underlying those and get many blessings from those definitions that are behind those. And that's what I did today. And I kind of categorized some of the ways that the word joy was used. And I'll just hit some high points because we could probably have a study for several weeks on this word joy. Christians should be joyful. I'm sure some of you are thinking of Philippians 4:4, which says what? Rejoice. Come on, you can do better than that. I know you all know it. Wow. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And that's Philippians 4:4. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, the Bible says, as Paul is closing out the epistle, he says, rejoice always. That's it. That's the context of it. He says, rejoice always. So we should be joyful. But how can we be joyful in this world that is killing our joy? So there's a few things, and I'll just talk about a few things. Our strength comes from the Lord. Our godly joy gives strength. In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, the Bible says, then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready, for this day is holy to our Lord, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. In Philippians it says, rejoice in the Lord. In Nehemiah it says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the key to joy is getting our joy from the Lord and having our joy in the Lord. And I think that is the focus that we should have. We should definitely consider these and meditate on these. So where does this strength come from? Where does this strength that we get from joy come from? How do we get that? So one of the things that's repeated over and over and over again in the Bible with the word joy is the strength of joy in the Lord comes from remembering our salvation in Christ. I'm just going to go over a few verses that kind of point us in that direction. And this is just a selection of several verses. Psalm chapter 21, verse 1, to the choir master, a psalm of David. O Lord, in your strength the king rejoices, and in your salvation how greatly he exults. So David is saying, I get my joy from your salvation, and in your salvation I exalt you. So the key here, if you're down in the dumps, start remembering and thinking about your salvation. You don't turn to the video game. Don't break open a beer. Don't run out and watch a movie. Don't do whatever this hobby thing is, whatever. And hobbies are good as long as it's not sinful. But the real focus and foundation of joy for the Christian, the main one, I think, is to remember that we are saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a joy that is. One of the things that you will hear often is that we should remember our baptism. It's an anchor. And I say, remember the salvation that made you need to be baptized. And I think it goes part and parcel with that. We should take great joy in the fact that we are saved. In Luke chapter 10, verse 19 and 20, behold, I have given you authority. So Jesus is making a comparison here, and it's really interesting. He says, I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Wow! I think that would be pretty awesome. I'd be pretty happy about that. Jesus is sending me out, giving me all kinds of power. Nothing's going to hurt me. The enemy, he's talking about having power over the devil and his minions and the earthly minions that are against the Lord. But Jesus said, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice, what? That your names are written in heaven. I'm not getting a lot of feedback here tonight. That your names are written in heaven. So are you down in the dumps? Is your name written in heaven? If your name is written in heaven, think about that. Think about that Jesus died for you. The Holy Spirit regenerated your heart. You've come to know that you needed Christ. You repented. You turned to Christ. And your name is written in heaven. Rejoice in that. The world cannot kill that joy. That temporal joy that comes from these other things that the world offers as by way of happiness and disappears and causes regret or causes loss when you're completed and you miss it. When you have the joy of your salvation, that is a never-ending joy. What's that lollipop on the Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory that just never ends, never-ending gobstopper? What is it? Everlasting. It's like salvation is like an everlasting gobstopper. You could just enjoy it forever. It's there. Another verse, Romans chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. More than that. So he's saying, we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. Paul's saying, much more, now that we are reconciled, we're saved. So we're reconciled, we're saved. But even, so Paul goes on and says, even more than that. What could be more than that? Paul is saying we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. He's saying rejoice that right now you have received the reconciliation. You've received the forgiveness of sins. That's a big more than that in verse 11, considering what he said that we are reconciled to Jesus in verse 10. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, the writer of Hebrews says to the choir master of Psalm of David, O Lord, in your strength, the king rejoices, and in your... I think I copied the wrong verse there. So that's what happens when you have quick copy and paste. Let me just go there. I am spoiled by my computer. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus himself had joy in providing us the salvation which we enjoy. Do you remember your salvation? And look, there are a lot of reasons why we could be discouraged with what's going on. But we should be among the people that are most happy. I mentioned last week in the sermon that I was reading or listening to Fox's Book of Martyrs, and it is amazing to me how many saints of God being led to their death we're singing and rejoicing and praising God. How? The world was not a joy killer for them because they were anchored in the joy that comes from their salvation. Do you remember your salvation? Next time you're discouraged by the news of the day, discouraged by your job, discouraged by your things that are going on at home or anywhere, go back to your salvation and lean on the joy that comes to us through that. The next thing we get joy from is the Word of God. In Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16, your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became to me a joy and a delight of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Now, I know this is a little bit of an analogy where Jeremiah is eating the Word of God, but certainly we can understand what he's saying. We can understand how to apply that to us. We can eat the Word of God. And by consuming and meditating on the Word of God, it becomes to us great joy. It's the joy that the world cannot kill. And it is not a joy that is superficially found in the activities that the world offers. It's the joy that comes from the Lord. And the joy of the Lord is our strength against the discouragement of the day. In John chapter 15, verse 11, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." Now, Jesus said, "These things have I spoken to you." Now, that's certainly Jesus was talking in the context of the sermon or the speech or the talk that he was giving. But Jesus is also the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he said, "These things that I have spoken to you," you could step back and say, from Genesis to Revelation, the things that have been spoken to us by God are given to us that his joy, Jesus' joy, may be in us, and that our joy may be full. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 4, "And we are writing these things so that your joy may be complete," or our joy may be complete. Why is the Bible given to us? So that our joy may be complete. So, question: how precious to you and to me is the Word of God? I mean, if you watch a half-hour sitcom, which probably, you know, I'm sure there's some that aren't bad, that aren't sinful. But what if you took that same half hour and read the book of Romans? I don't know. I'm not trying to be legalistic here. I'm not saying that's what you should do. But is the Word of God precious to you? Is it something that you eat and receive joy from so that you can walk, so that you can resist the joy-killing culture of our world that we live in? The next is the promise of sovereign protection is something that gives us great joy. Let those who delight in Psalm chapter 35, verse 27, that let those who delight in my righteousness shout for joy and be glad and say evermore, "Great is the Lord who delights in the welfare of his servant." You know, we could say Romans chapter 8, "All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose." But do you ever think that the Lord delights in your welfare? That he is the sovereign God who protects us, and that he is the one who controls everything, and he delights in our welfare no matter what circumstance we find ourselves in? We can count on God doing us good. And we could receive great is the Lord. We could receive great joy from that. Shout for joy and be glad and say evermore, "Great is the Lord who delights in the welfare of his servant." When you're down in the dumps, when you're upset, when things aren't going well, say, "Lord, I am so thankful that you delight in my welfare. Lord, I might not see it at this very second, but I am going to get strength and joy from knowing that, from believing that you are the sovereign God who protects me. And this one, I hope Pastor Josh is listening, because this point is especially for him, because it's the promise of the eschaton. I think it's a rule here at Grace Covenant that we have to use that word at least once in every sermon. The promise of the eschaton should give us great joy. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, though you have not seen him, you love him. There's that promise. You haven't seen him, but you love him. We know that the promise is real. Though you do not see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. We haven't seen him. We don't now see him, but we believe in him. And because we believe in the eschaton, we believe that we will see him. We have inexpressible joy. So when things are bad, when times are tough, when the world is sucking our joy that the Lord is giving us from us, we can put down the stake in the promise of the eschaton. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 10, sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I come and I will dwell in your midst, declares the Lord. Sing and rejoice that the Lord will come. He came once and he's coming again. When you're down in the dumps, when you see the world starting to hate what we are as Christians and Bible believers, there is so much that we can get our joy from. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 21, his master said to him, well done, thou good and faithful. There I go with my King Jimmy again. I'm trying hard to get the ESV down. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into what? The joy of the Lord. We have great joy in the hope of the eschaton in the future. And when you're down in the dumps, and when the world is sucking your joy, and you're discouraged and despondent, you can think of what's going to happen, the promise of the future. And you can get strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength through the eschaton, the promise of the eschaton. And finally, I'd like to say that the Bible teaches very plainly that we get our joy from walking with God. I have a friend who I love very dearly who is going through some really dark trials right now, and he claims to be a Christian, but he doesn't go to church, and he doesn't really walk with the Lord at all. And his path to happiness is what he calls himself. He calls it retail therapy. He buys stuff. And he never stops buying stuff. Today's purchase is tomorrow's yard sale. Today's little sparkly object is overcome by tomorrow's sparkly object. And the retail therapy is just not working for him. And if we chase other things besides walking with God to get our joy, then we will chase the wind. In Psalm chapter 16, verse 11, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence, walking with God, in your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. This is the type of joy that the world cannot take away from you. If you are walking with God, there is nothing that this world can do to remove that from you. John chapter 1, 3 John chapter, well, 3 John 4, verse 4. It's like 1-4, but it's verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are what? Come on. Walking in the truth. Thank you, finally. So I know you guys know these verses. Don't be shy. I have no greater joy than to know that my children are walking in the truth. Can you hear God saying that? I have no greater joy than to know, put your name in the blank, that you're walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to know that. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, though you have not seen him, you love him. We've already talked about this verse. Though you do not see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Romans chapter 14, verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So you have joy coming from the Holy Spirit. And Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, I'm going to pull these together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and it goes on. But if you are walking with God, you will have the fruits of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it says about the fruits of the Spirit, there is no law against them. Meaning if you are walking in the Spirit, if you are walking with God, you will not commit sin. Now, I know it's, you know, we don't believe in sinless perfection. I'm not talking about that. But I will say if you're walking with God, you will have the joy of the fruit of the Spirit. And it is a joy that nothing in this world can take from you. But sin does take our joy, doesn't it? And in Psalm 51, we know what David said. His prayer for restoration. He said in 51:12, he said, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. So that's it. That's all I wanted to talk about tonight. But if you want to have a blessing, grab your little Bible program that you have on your phone or on your computer and do a word search on joy if there's another topic. It's a real blessing to track words through the Bible and just go verse by verse by verse and see how it goes. But for tonight's prayer, what I would like to do is concentrate on prayers of praise, thankfulness to the Lord, reasons why we'd like to just thank the Lord for the joy that we have, answered prayer, reasons you could talk about, anything that comes to mind about what the reason is for the joy that is in your heart right now. So let's do that. I'll close this out here in a quick word of prayer, and then we'll take some prayer requests in just a moment. Lord, we thank you for the joy unspeakable and full of glory, Lord, like the song that we sing. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Lord, the joy that we have for knowing you, it's humbling that you have given us reason for great joy, both now because of our salvation, because of the word of God, because we could walk with you, and then, Lord, in the future. And Lord, I pray that we would take great solace and strength from the joy that you give us, Lord. And I pray that you would teach us to be joyful in any circumstance and not to be swayed by the environment, but just to be the ones who others come and say, what is the reason of the hope that lies in you? Father, I pray that we would be the salt of the earth because we are living above the circumstances of the world through the power of your Holy Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. So let me see here. Do I have my notebook?